Let's talk to Chris Page. He's chairman of Rail Future, the Rail Campaign Group, and joins us now. Good morning to you, Chris.
Good morning, Julia.
Good morning. Now, I spoke to one of your colleagues yesterday when this news emerged. Everyone's up in arms. It's all over the papers today. Everyone's furious. All these people who've bought themselves huge big houses out in Surrey and goodness knows where, who travel into the city of London saying, this is outrageous. I'm going to have to spend £5,000 on my season ticket. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, but you've got a bigger house with a smaller mortgage than my flat is, and yet you've chosen to live further away from work. You're going to have a long, expensive journey into work. That's your choice. What's it got to do with me? If that's what the rail cost is, you have to pay it.
And, of course, those people who are living in Surrey and commuting on Southern do actually pay the cost, because Southern Rail doesn't actually receive a subsidy from the government.
It doesn't at all?
No. Southern
they're that bad, all on their own.
Well done, then. Southern and South Western actually make a net contribution to the government. So you can't say that everybody is getting subsidised by...
But as we were discussing yesterday, your colleague, our transport infrastructure is subsidised, we say, paid for in part by the government. Railway lines put down, our roads are being built and repaired. There's loads of money that goes into this. In fact, our railways, am I not right in thinking, they cost more in absolute terms in this country than they do in the nationalised versions on much of the continent. So it does seem utterly bizarre. But these railing fare increases, a lot of that is going towards, there are just increased costs of running railways, as we know, with inflation, but also they go towards the costs of repairs, maintenance and upgrading, don't they, which will long-term benefit those rail passengers.
Yes, you're right. The government is investing in the railways, and we welcome that, because that makes that creates the extra capacity which rail passengers need. It takes cars off the road as people... As the rail journey becomes more attractive, more people use rail. As more people use rail, the rail companies get more revenue. And so that has helped over the last few years. Rail companies have been more profitable than they used to be, and it's reduced the level of support the government gives. We're not saying that rail fares shouldn't go up. Mm. What we are saying is they should be value for money, so they should only go up at the consumer price index level, which is what the government uses for wages and pensions. Why should it go up at the retail prices index level, which just for rail fares?
Yeah, I mean, that seems to be a very fair. But I have a funny feeling that, so that would be a 2.6% rise instead of a 3.6% rise. I have a funny feeling that rail users would complain about a 2.6% rise as well.
Well, everyone complains about prices of anything going up. But that's a fact of life, that inflation happens. You're right, it's difficult for public sector workers who maybe only get 1% rise a year. And I can sympathise with that.
Yeah, and I mean, exactly. I mean, it's going to be difficult. But I mean, look, we all know, you know, some of our biggest costs are, you know, our housing costs and our transport costs, particularly to and from work. And there are an awful lot of people now who do live a long way from their workplace. And it's not always choice. It's not necessarily, you know, someone living in, you know, the sort of stockbroker belt in a fancy part of the southeast. Talking about people across the country who can't afford to live close to their workplaces and do have to travel in. But part of the cost of life, of course, will be their transport. And we don't see subsidies for people who have to drive, do we?
We don't see subsidies for people who have to drive.
To drive if you live in a city like London or you live in the centre of Manchester or Liverpool. But an awful lot of people, you know, my in-laws live in Stoke and Trent. You can't get anywhere without a car. You have to have a car in many places, don't you?
In many cases, you do. And in London, for the people who live in London, for example, there, driving to work by car is not an option.
Yeah, you can get there, but there's nowhere to park your car. It'll cost you £30 to park your car. Yeah.
So they are dependent on rail services, and so therefore they need value for money for the fares.
What do you think? If it was 2.6%, there wouldn't be such a complaint.
I think it would be less of a complaint, and it would be seen as being fairer. At the moment, it's not seen as being fair.
I mean, I have to say, I'm amazed at some of the costs of these things. I mean, Reading to London is 4,300. That's going to rise to 4,464. Loughborough to Leicester is currently £1,084 and would rise to 1,124. I mean, a lot of these fare increases, they tend to massively affect people in the southeast because that's where the seriously big rail fares are. But I'm working out. I mean, some people are spending, looking at roughly £20 a day on their rail fares. If you're looking at someone paying £5,000 a year in the amount of weeks they're not at work or at work, £20, £25 a day. It's a heck of a lot of money. But if they are spending those sort of fares, odds are they live quite a long way out. They live somewhere where, as I say, they can get a much better value home. I know so many people. The price I bought my flat in London, they've got, you know, 5-bedroom houses with, you know, massive gardens and the like. The reality is that people make choices. I mean, people don't move to these places and then go, oh, I'm really surprised that if I travel, you know, 50 miles on the rail network in the morning, that it actually, there's a cost to that. It's part of their, for a lot of people, it's part of their cost of living, isn't it?
Well, it's part of the calculation of moving. And as we're creating jobs in the cities faster than we're creating homes, more people are going to have to travel further to work. So that's a choice that they make. And if they can compare that with the cost of doing that journey by car. And I think you'll find, actually, yeah, it's not so far different when you take into account the true costs of running a car, not just the fuel cost.
And that's the thing, isn't it? Because people will say, oh, it's cheaper, the cost of the petrol. But again, people pay a massively high tax rate on their fuel in terms of the fuel duty and the VAT and the like. And you've got the cost of the car, the depreciation, your MOT, the annual service. You know, I pay residence parking. Plus, you know, the tax to, you know, congestion charge and things to drive into many cities. There are huge extra costs for drivers, which simply aren't there for rail users.
Well, they're not extra costs. They're cost, the cost of running a car, which people don't always see. They do see the price of the rail fare because they pay for that all in one lump if you buy an annual season. That's why people complain about it. What we're saying is the key thing is that should be value for money, which means that it shouldn't go up each year faster than everything else.
Yeah. Okay.
Faster than wages.
All right, Chris, thank you very much for joining us. Chris Page, Chairman of Rail Future, the Rail Campaign Group. Thank you for joining us. Much appreciated.